Welcome to day 173 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. Today, we are going to cover the last two chapters from the book of Proverbs. And these two chapters are very interesting. The 30th chapter begins with the words of Agur, the son of Jacob, the oracle. Essentially, this tells us as an introduction that the following words were written by a man named Agur, who is some unknown sage or wise man from the time frame in which Solomon was collecting and writing Proverbs. So he submits to us here these words from this man named Agur, and he brings out many very interesting points that will be of value to you. My favorite is verse 5, which says, "Every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him." And then many other wise words follow. But then we get to the 31st chapter of the book of Proverbs, most widely known for the description of the godly woman that we find in verses 10 through 31. And it is quite a description. You could say it's a listing of characteristics of a godly woman, how she operates in her home, how she is a blessing to her husband. And it's an amazing list that any woman would desire to have those qualities, and you could say it's as if the counsel of the king's mother was trying to give him some advice on how to choose a worthy wife. Obviously, Solomon didn't take that counsel if he's the king that's mentioned here, because he chose many, many wives who ended up bringing him far from the Lord. Nonetheless, the words we find in Proverbs 31 are very powerful, and I believe you'll enjoy listening to these words as we read through it. So beginning at Proverbs chapter 30, starting at verse 1. The words of Agur, the son of Jacob, the oracle. The man declares to Ithiel and Ukal, "Surely I am more stupid than any man, and I do not have the understanding of a man. Neither have I learned wisdom, nor do I have the knowledge of the Holy One. Who has ascended into heaven and descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has wrapped the waters in his garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name or his son's name? Surely you know. Every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will reprove you, and you will be proved a liar. Two things I asked of you. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, that I not be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or that I be not in want and steal and profane the name of my God. Do not slander a slave to his master, or he will curse you and you will be found guilty. There is a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother. There is a kind who is pure in his own eyes, yet is not washed from his filthiness. There is a kind, oh, how lofty are his eyes, and his eyelids are raised in arrogance. There is a kind of man whose teeth are like swords, and his jaw teeth like knives, to devour the afflicted from the earth and the needy from among men. The leech has two daughters. Give, give. There are three things that will not be satisfied, four that will not say enough: Sheol and the barren womb, earth that is never satisfied with water, and fire that never says enough. The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. There are three things which are too wonderful for me, four which I do not understand: the way of an eagle in the sky, the way of a serpent on a rock, the way of a ship in the middle of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. This is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, "I've done no wrong." Under three things the earth quakes, and under four it cannot bear up: under a slave when he becomes a king, and a fool when he is satisfied with food, under an unloved woman when she gets a husband, and a maidservant when she supplants her mistress. Four things are small on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are not a strong people, but they prepare their food in the summer. The Shephanim are not mighty people, yet they build their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet all of them go out in ranks. The lizard you may grasp with the hands, yet it is in kings' palaces. There are three things which are stately in their march, even four which are stately when they walk: the lion, which is mighty among beasts and does not retreat before any; the strutting rooster; the male goat also; and a king when his army is with him. If you have been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you have plotted evil, put your hand on your mouth. For the churning of milk produces butter, and the pressing the nose brings forth blood, so the churning of anger produces strife. Chapter 31, verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him. What, O my son, and what, O son of my womb, and what, O son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, or your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, or for rulers to desire strong drink, for they will drink and forget what is decreed, and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to him whose life is bitter. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his trouble no more. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax, and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night, and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all." Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's devotional, I want to focus on Proverbs chapter 31 and just share with you a few thoughts on this very well-known passage. First of all, I want to remind you that the beginning of Proverbs 31 tells us that King Lemuel, and scholars debate about the identity of this person. Some say it was King Solomon, and that this was a name that his mother, Bathsheba, gave him, or was a nickname or pet name, so to speak, for him. And in this proverb, the queen mother gives the advice that we hear in Proverbs 31. And King Lemuel, whether that was King Solomon or some other king, the king is reiterating the counsel that was given by his own mother to him as he was either preparing to become king or during the time of serving as the king. But the king here is telling us these are the words that his mother taught him. And the first portion of that proverb from verses 1 through 9 talk about the queen mother giving advice to him about being careful not to become a person who's given to drinking, because it's not appropriate or proper for a king to drink wine or strong drink, lest they forget what has been decreed by the law and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. So first of all, she talks to him about not becoming a drunk and trying to be a leader, because it will negatively impact his ability to lead and be a righteous leader. And then the queen mother goes into her recommendations on how to choose a worthy wife for the king. And she begins with those words, "An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels." And then we find from the next verses, from 11 down through 31, some very amazing attributes that are shared here about what an excellent wife would look like. And remember, this is advice being given to a king, someone that is a leader, someone that needs a partner who will be a blessing and a benefit to him in his leadership, will be able to complement his leadership, support his leadership, and be trustworthy. In fact, the very first attribute that's mentioned in verse 11 is the heart of her husband trusts in her. So, speaking to this man, young man, who's considering choosing a wife, the very first attribute that's mentioned is that this woman that he chooses has to be someone that the king or the husband can trust in, can have a relationship where he has complete and total confidence in her, not betraying him in any way, not being inappropriate and sharing things with other people that should be kept private or confidential, never speaking evil of him. This husband is able to trust in her guarding their relationship as a married couple and also his standing as a leader. So women, if you are an unmarried woman and it's your desire to be married, consider that one of the most outstanding qualities will be for you to be a trustworthy person, trustworthy in every area of your life. But let me move down to verse 30, because this sums up all of the attributes that are described here in Proverbs chapter 31 about this woman. And this is an important summation because it speaks to us, whether you are a man who's looking for a wife or hoping one day to be married, or you are a woman desiring to be married, or you are a married woman right now, or a married man right now, understand that this verse, verse 30 of Proverbs 31, is truly the key to the value of a woman or a wife for a husband. This word says here in Proverbs 31:30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So in our society today, beauty, outward physical beauty is considered to be a very high importance for a man in choosing a wife, which is sad because its outward appearance is something that is fleeting. It doesn't last forever, and it's just something that doesn't bring a value to a relationship that's going to increase the closeness of a married couple. That doesn't increase the closeness. The inner beauty issues are the things that will determine how strong a relationship in a marriage will be. Now, I believe every woman should try to adorn themselves and look good for their husbands and all of that, but the key here is these words in verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. A woman who really does fear God, who reverences God, loves God, desires with all of her heart to please the Lord, will be the best mate any man could ever have, because her desire to please God will result in her desire to be a blessing to her husband, to be a gift to her husband, to be someone that is the greatest encourager of her husband and the greatest prayer warrior for her husband. A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Remember, the queen mother, the mother of the king, is the one who gave this counsel to the young king seeking a wife. She recognized that if he could find a woman who really feared God, who really loved and honored God, he would be choosing someone who would be a blessing to him, and their marriage relationship would be a strong one because it would be based on two people who really feared the Lord. And together, desiring to please God, they would love one another, honor one another, respect one another, choose to bless one another, seek to quickly forgive, always choosing to put the other one first. All of those things come out of a desire to revere, respect, and honor God. So the person who truly, honestly fears the Lord, not just in words, not just says they're a Christian, not just says, I honor God, that's the most important thing in my life, says it with their mouth, but that their life reflects that, that person will be a good mate in a marriage relationship, male or female, whichever, because that person's life will reflect a life that desires to honor God, and God is love, and God teaches us and gives us the grace to love one another. So the queen mother who gave this counsel to the king, saying, you want a good wife? Find one that fears the Lord. That wife, that woman, will be the greatest blessing to your life, and that is the truth. And this runs totally contrary to current society or cultural values, which doesn't place any value at all on someone who fears God. It places value on external things, how they look, how they appear, what their particular status in life, whether they're wealthy or whatever, things that are external. And those things are fleeting. That is the truth. They are fleeting. I remember a story that was told to me by a friend of mine some years ago, and it was quite an excellent example of some wisdom given by a mother to a son. This friend of mine had this young man as a relative in her family. This young man was of marrying age, and he was interested in two girls. He liked both of them very much. They had both been schoolmates, I believe, in the university, and he couldn't decide which one of these two girls he should really pursue or seriously consider for marriage, because he liked them pretty equally. They were both attractive young women, but one of them was very outstanding in her good looks. The other one was also nice looking, but this one was quite outstanding in that area. But the second one, who wasn't as outstanding in her physical appearance, though lovely, she had a very gentle spirit, a very sweet personality, was always kind to everyone, never was an ill word heard out of her mouth. Whereas the other one, who was, by the world's standards, quite striking in her beauty, had a quick temper, would easily become frustrated, would become depressed easily, let things bother her quite a bit, was quite moody. So between the two of them, though he liked both of them, he asked his mother, what did she think about these two girls and which one should he seriously consider pursuing as a potential mate? And both of these young women were Christian girls, so that was not an issue between the two of them. The mother wisely answered that young man and said, think about this. 20 years down the road, you've been married, maybe 25 years, and which one of these girls would you like to have spent those 25 years with? The one who is moody, though beautiful, or the one who always is so kind, always cheerful, always has an encouraging word, never an ill word out of her mouth? How do you think those 25 years will have been in your marriage? And you know that beauty is fleeting, as the Bible says, doesn't last forever, but that personality will still be there. The foundational personality of both those young ladies will still remain with them, the moody one and the sweet-tempered one. Which one would you like to spend those 25 years with? Those wise words given by that mother to that son made his decision so very easy. And he indeed chose the sweet-tempered girl and later married her, and they're very happily married even to this day. But this story is a great example, because Proverbs 31:30 gives us that very clear word. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Truly, this is the truth. This is wisdom. This is foundational for a good marriage. Whether if you're a man looking for a wife, find someone who truly fears the Lord, who really loves God, whose life reflects that, who desires to please the Lord first and foremost. If you are a woman, don't say yes to a man that hasn't said yes to God first. That's just good advice. because you want to also find someone who truly fears the Lord, who honors the Lord. And in that, you will find someone who will be a blessing to you, and you will be a blessing to them. So these are wise words we've heard today, and God has given us some excellent understanding that I believe many have missed because they haven't sought out God's standards for marriage, for relationships, but they've been caught up in what the world's standards are all about. And we can see very clearly, simply by the divorce rate in the United States and actually around the world, that the world's standards and ways of choosing someone to marry doesn't bring a lasting, happy relationship. But God's way will give you a foundation from which you can build a strong marriage as the two of you choose to love, honor, respect, and fear the Lord together. And with that as a foundation, you can build upon that, praying together, walking together, seeking God's will together, being quick forgivers, and always being a blessing one to another, and that will build a strong relationship. Wherever you are right now in your life, married or unmarried, these are things you can take to heart and think about and pray toward. If you are married, I want to encourage you to pursue being that person that fears the Lord, and in that you will find God's strength and God's wisdom and God's grace to be a blessing to your spouse and to value in your spouse the good qualities that God has given to them and thereby blessed you through them. God bless you and give you a victorious week.